there was Srila Prabhupada's desire that one of the ways in which we have to take responsibility for giving Krishna consciousness to others, glorifying Krishna, Sankirtan, is to write books. So I've been trying to do that for the last almost 15 years. And this particular book relates to the establishment of Vrindavan in Hungary. It's called New Brajadam. Some of you have been there, visited. If not, then please try to do so sometime. And we try to model it on a smaller version of Boma Vrindavan, which is Vrindavan in India. Boma Vrindavan is Vrindavan in India. And not only in terms of having a temple, just like we have a temple here in deities, but also the different pastime places, or at least the major pastime places, also being established in terms of small memorials or hills, gardens, kunds, and things that go along with having a Jamuna River and a Govardhan Hill and an underground and Varshana. So these things are also all there on a smaller scale than what you see in India. With the idea being is that it helps fix the reality of the fact that wherever Krishna is, that's a holy place. And it's a holy place which is a tangible reality, and holy place that has all of Krishna's pastime places. And so the book's then about not only how originally, historically, it was established, getting on to 15 years ago, 16 years ago, but actually how one can also do parikrama there in the same way that one does parikrama in Vrindavan. And that parikrama is also part of our preaching. Part of our preaching is to actually bring people to Krishna's home, to Krishna's abode, take ourselves there. It's also our duty, our responsibility. And to remember the pastimes that Krishna enacted. Krishna himself comes to this material world in order to actually display his pastimes in the spiritual world. And towards the end of the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami says, Manushyam Deham Ashritam. Anyway, the translation is that Krishna appears and shows his human-like pastimes in order to actually attract those who are interested back home, back to Godhead. We talk about going back to Godhead. But what does it mean to be back in Godhead? People want to know. If you want to go somewhere, you go somewhere where you know about something. If you have a destination, if you have a holiday, if you want to visit somewhere, you want to see, all right, why should I go there? What's there? I'm here now. Is it someplace better? So Sankirtan means that Krishna's coming himself. Krishna brings the spiritual world to here, this material world. He brings all of his associates. He brings his eternal pastime places. They also remain there simultaneously, but they're also here. And then he performs all of these pastimes. Now, killing demons, that's sort of an incidental thing. That's not really Krishna's main business. So when Krishna says, Paritanaya sadhanam vinasya chaduskritam dharmasam sthapanartaya. This is actually the business of Lord Vishnu. Krishna, he's the maintainer. He's the one who's actually destroying demons. But Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna himself, his business is to enjoy. So Upanishads say, natasya karyam karanam charitatihi. He has no other business other than enjoyment. And of course, killing demons is also part of enjoyment, but it's Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that it's an indirect activity. Krishna's main enjoyment is herding cows. I don't know how many of you have herded cows, but it must be fun, otherwise why would God do it? So, try and get the chance to do it. You're driving cars, working computers, doing so many things that aren't fun, sitting in traffic for hours on end, breathing carbon monoxide. Herding cows is fun, especially when they're not ordinary cows, but they're Surabhi cows. Just like Vishwamitra had a, Vishishta had a Surabhi cow. And it's able to create anything, do anything. These cows are also like that. They give oceans of milk. But aside from giving milk, they're also like everyone else in the spiritual world. They're fully conscious and, practically speaking, possess these same opulences and powers as Krishna. No one is equal to Krishna, but by Krishna's grace, they have that blessing. And Krishna plays with his friends. Krishna has many friends. All of these concepts are really, really revolutionary. They're not even revolutionary, they're just laughable for materialistic people or for religious people who don't really, who can't really understand the personal nature of God. Without understanding that God's a person, it doesn't make sense. You tell someone God herds cows, and they just look at you like you're a fool. Because they first haven't understood that God's, what does it mean that God's a person? That God has a form. And because he's a person, he also has likes. He has likes and he has dislikes, but he has likes. He likes to do different things. And he has friends. He has people who love him. A friend is someone who loves you. He has girlfriends. Girlfriends are someone who loves you. He has parents. That's a little more difficult to chew because God's the origin of everything. And so how does God have parents? And they're not really the source of his birth, although they think that he's born from them. But still, he like takes parents. Why? Because don't we all like to have parents? We also like that type of love. There's the love of a friend. There's the love of a wife and a girlfriend. There's the love of parents. So they're all different types of, we have this word rasa. They're different type of rasas. And everyone is looking for rasa. So this is the basis of Upanishads, again, say rasa vaisa, rasa hivam. That he is rasa. And we are also in search of rasa. And when we don't find it, then we're frustrated, we're unhappy. So we're looking for reciprocation on the basis of love. What we find in the material world is a shadow of that. Sometimes we're fortunate enough to have that the shadow lasts for a significant period of time, but in Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga means even the shadow doesn't last